You're listening to Midwest Vegan Radio.
We're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners.
With your hosts, Dallas.
That sounds so good.
And Ryan.
Pass the noosh.
Awesome. We're back.
We're back again.
Yay, with episode 11.
You have nothing funny for this one?
Something about heaven.
I was thinking that before, but that's really stupid.
It's corny.
Only vegans go to heaven?
Oh, that would really make some people mad.
Probably. But hey.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
We're in kind to all beings.
Our upcoming religion episode.
And that's what Jesus would want, right?
Sure. As long as we're assigning that, why not?
All right, let's get this out of the way. I'm Ryan.
I am Dallas.
What up, Elliot?
Hello.
He's over there.
Sorry to change things up a little bit for people. I guess that was confusing to everybody. Before we get started, I want to say a couple hellos to people that were kind enough to write to us. We love when people write to us, and for the time being, since we don't get a billion emails a day quite yet, we will respond to you if you write to us. And so I wanted to say hi to Dee Dee from BF Louisiana. That's like, you know, BFE, but BF Louisiana.
What? BF.
I don't want to say it because it's naughty. Bomb, Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Like when people live in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
BF,
I get it now.
Louisiana.
Yeah, you really gotta.
I'm sorry. Because BF could be a place.
Subtlety and me, not always the best.
Okay. Hello, Dee Dee. Thank you for writing to us. And I also want to say hi to one other person who left us a nice little note on Facebook. That was Courtney Hambright. So hi, and we're glad you like our show. And yeah, should we get right into it?
So that's awesome that somebody from Louisiana likes our show.
I know. I'm kind of curious. Well, I was looking through, a lot of the Facebook stuff is really, really private, so it's hard to like see where people are actually from. But I've seen California, but I know our listener from California. I suppose other people might be from California, and I know
we had one from
New York.
The woman on the East Coast who listens during her commute.
Yep. Yeah. So if you listen, I guess, from farther away than New York or California.
International?
We need an international listener. Just listener. Just one.
You can be our token international listener.
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll talk about you in every episode.
That's cool. Isn't technology awesome?
Yes.
All right. So today, we're going to be talking about vegan companion animals. So companion animals.
So what about them?
Well, first of all, let's define companion animals, just in case.
Puppies. Kitties.
Basically, animals who are your companions. Duh.
Llamas.
They could be. But the idea...
Birds.
We could go on a long
Snakes.
Time. Yeah, we could
Iguanas.
Go on. Okay. But pretty much what people refer to as pets sometimes.
Yeah. The dreaded P word.
The P word, yeah. It's
Which implies of, ownership.
It implies ownership, and it's a little bit derogatory. So companion animals is a more respectful way to talk about the animals who live with us.
There was a really nasty debate on This Dish Is Veg where somebody wrote about the terminology around using companion animals versus pets and using like he or she, if you know the gender of the animal, versus it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, there was a couple people that wrote really nasty comments about how PC we feel the need to be. But language is really, really important.
Language shapes behavior.
It does.
It's certainly, I'm a huge believer in that. And so that's why I'm hugely in favor of guardian language instead of owner.
And even a lot of our kind of cultural idioms, it's cute because I've got my mom to stop saying things like, you know, kill two birds with one stone, or putting the cart before the horse, or, you know, getting your ducks in a row. If she does still say stuff like that, I'm like, don't say that. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry. But
yeah,
I don't know. It might sound stupid, but it's
about consistency.
It's unnormalizing these kind of derogatory,
right,
abusive kinds of idioms that we have in our culture.
Yeah.
That we don't need to have.
Yeah, they're unnecessary. Unnecessarily hurtful.
Yeah.
So companion animals is a great way to talk about the animals that share your daily life.
I have none.
Yeah. I have four. So I guess we balance out.
Yes.
I've got four boys.
I like yours.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
I like when friends visit with theirs.
I would bring mine over if it were okay, but I know that they're not really allowed, so they're hard to sneak in.
That doesn't mean that people haven't. Although, I think your cats probably would.
No.
No?
Well, Milo would love it, but I don't know.
And I think Max probably. No.
For those of. Okay, well, let me talk
who's
about
loud?
Max.
Oh, then no. Warren would be.
Yeah. Max is my beagle. He's 11 years old. He has facial paralysis on one side, and so he constantly drools out of the left side of his mouth. And that, it is gross. It's gross. Like, I'm his mom, so I love him no matter what. But then he shakes his head, and drool will go flying everywhere, like onto the walls, onto art, onto people's clothing when they come over. So, yeah, when you come to my house, it's... You just don't wear anything nice and just be
I feel
prepared.
Like, though, I have heard more from Warren than I have heard from Max. And the issue with having them over here is noise. So Sarah has had Nanano over here. And I know that Kim has brought Chihuahua over.
Chihuahua.
I think Jess has brought hers over, too.
Well, maybe sure. Someday Warren will make a field trip. I don't know. We'll see. We can put pictures of them on the website so people can see them because they're pretty great. But anyway, Max and Warren, they're both vegan dogs and they're happy, and we'll talk about that. But basically the topic, again, back to the topic for
So what are you guys going to talk about today? We're just going to ramble.
We're not
going to
just talk about which dogs have come to visit Ryan's house. We're going to talk about...
That's not what this episode is about?
No, not really. But vegan companion animals. So the idea being that if for people who are vegan for ethical reasons, who do not kill animals because it's unnecessary to kill them and just for pleasure or convenience or, tradition,
mm-hmm.
It's always been done, the same should, you know, we should also reconsider how we feed our companion animals because it's not necessary in most cases.
That's important to say in most cases.
Yeah, and I'll talk about that too. One of my kitties isn't vegan.
Mm-hmm.
We tried. But for companion animals, if they can be vegan, it's great to have them be. And many people just don't even think about the possibility. They mm-hmm. haven't thought about it.
And this relates to a book that I've talked about in probably damn near every episode, Obligate Carnivore, which kind of helps take you through the process of attempting, not guaranteeing, but attempting to veganize your companion animals because it can't always be done healthfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I think much easier with dogs probably than with cats.
True. Obligate Carnivore is a fantastic book. We'll link to it on the page for this episode on the website. And it's by Jed Gillen, funny man.
And the,
very funny.
The current book that's out is his second edition of the book, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's a small book. It's a quick and easy read.
Very easy read.
And it's engaging. And actually, I mean, I read it, I think, I don't know, maybe 13, 14 years into my animal rights work. And I thought about things in a new way.
Yeah.
Which was really a big deal for me because there were some topics that he raised that I had never considered. And he framed some arguments in ways that I never would have, I hadn't heard before. And
which is crazy for this tiny, tiny little book.
Yeah.
And that was the same experience that I had with it. It was one of those that surprised me that I got a different perspective and kind of learned a different way to think about things.
And I love it that you always recommend this book to people, even though
it.
You don't have any companion animals of your own.
But that part was even interesting because the whole book isn't about that. The beginning section is more about perspective. And the second half is really about transitioning, and which makes the book sound a lot longer than it is. Is it 100 pages? Maybe. It's so short.
It's really short.
But I love that book.
Yeah, it's awesome. So that's great. I guess a couple of things to consider. With dogs, super easy to have them be vegan. It's really not
usually
hard at all. I mean, well.
If you have a picky dog, though. If you have a picky eater.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know what that's like having a beagle at all.
And I guess my recommendation for that would be probably trying like half and half or
Oh, I mean, switching, yeah, for most people with any, if a dog is only used to eating one kind of food, it can be very difficult for them to transition, just like people. You know, sometimes when they're transitioning to a more whole plant-based diet, their bodies can kind of freak out on them a little bit, and they think that it's not being healthy or it's not good for them, but it's just a shock because your body has to learn how to digest something different.
Digestion aside, when I went vegan, it took me 3 weeks to like broccoli. Mm-hmm. And I really, really, really wanted to because broccoli is so cute. But it just took me a really long time to like it. But with enough earth balance and enough nooch, I got there.
You got there.
I got there. And now I really like broccoli a lot.
Love broccoli.
But it took a little time.
My dogs love broccoli. So, yeah, it's... So in transitioning with anything, you know, trying anything new, it's... My guys, they have such a huge, vastly varied diet that I like it that way because then their stomachs, I don't know, it just makes them more flexible and all around more healthy, I think. I think that it's... I don't think that it is terribly healthy if you can only digest one brand of one food. Plus, how boring would that be to eat the same thing, you know, two times a day
for your whole life?
Freaking boring, especially if it's kibble. You know, I mean, that's not even something fun.
No.
Although, I guess, again, Max doesn't seem to care. He snarfs it up so fast. He still likes it, I guess. But yeah, I think it's good to switch up in my personal philosophy. And my boys eat a lot of scraps, I guess we call them. Like they eat fruits and vegetables a lot. And I don't know, if I have some soy yogurt or something, I'll let Max lick the cup out and, you know, let them have the end of the almond milk and my cereal. And, you know, I'll give them bits of banana or whatever it is. I mean, it's just, they deserve that. Jeez. They don't get to pick what they eat and, you know, don't eat. So it's a big deal for them to get something different. So yeah, I mean, with dogs, they're naturally scavengers anyway. So they're pretty flexible generally in terms, I mean, there are going to be exceptions for animals that have specific medical conditions and things, but generally if you've got a healthy dog, chances are that they can be vegan pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in terms of what kind of food and stuff, we can talk about that a little bit later. But cats are a little bit more difficult, I would definitely say. And they're also, it's a lot more controversial. Like, people get really
weird about it.
They do get weird about it. Like, cats have to eat meat. They have to. They're designed that way. They have to have taurine, which you may have heard about. But taurine, it's true. Cats do have to have taurine. It's mm-hmm. very important. But the thing to note is that in cat food that's meat-based, the taurine is exactly the same that is in vegan cat food. Because
it's synthesized anyway.
Yep, they're both synthetic.
Yep.
They're the same thing. So, yeah, the taurine argument, it's like, yeah, they really do, but that doesn't mean that
you can't. Humans in B12.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do need it. And what?
And so let's have it.
So we'll get it. Mind your business.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all right.
It's going to be okay. There's actually some other amino acid that's actually more of a concern than the taurine issue is, and I don't remember what it is, but it's inobligate carnivore.
Again, we're always so prepared with facts for you guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole point. It's a casual show.
It is. We're cash. We're nothing if not cash.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's some amino acid that's really important. And again, if you go online and you read reviews about different vegan cat foods or whatever, that's fine. But it is a little bit more difficult for male cats to be vegan than female cats because of crystals in the urine, and the urethra is longer in the boys. And so there's more chance for things to get screwed up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely worth it's absolutely no excuses worth you should
try.
Read this book. Like, at least get information about it and don't dismiss and say, oh, no, you know, that's hooey. I mean, yeah. You should at least, you know, hear the other side of the argument and
be ready to read up on this and you know, take that book with you to the vet.
Oh, yeah, I can. I've done that
because
before.
They will, chances are they'll fight with you on it.
Yeah, it's true. I've brought it with me to the vet, and it was really helpful because there were symptoms that my kitty had, and I brought him in, and from the book I had said I want this specific test run, and then in the book it says if the, you know, levels of whatever it is fall between these two things, then, you know, here's what you can do. And we did that, and that's, you know, I took care of it from there. And it with one of them, and the other one, it turns out he can't be vegan because he was not doing so well. So that was a disappointment, but of course we're going to take care of him and give him what he needs. That said, if you do try and it doesn't work out that your cat, you know, can be vegan or not, you can always
or dog.
Yeah. You can try mixing the foods so that there's a percentage of it that is, and at least you're cutting down on the meat aspect. So one of the things that my husband and I do when we buy cat food is we look and we try to get cat food made from cows because cows are big.
Yeah.
And so you can feed a lot more cats with one cow life than you can with many little fish lives or many little chicken lives or what have you.
That's a difficult position, I imagine, to be in. I mean, and then do you get...
It sucks.
I mean, because if you're getting this cheap stuff, then you're getting, you know, kind of byproducts, which is horrible. You don't want to be feeding your animals byproducts of garbage. But, you know, then if you're paying for like kind of this premium stuff, then you're actually killing animals to
more of them,
which I'd actually like to kind of digress for a minute. We at a recent Animal Rights Coalition event, Vegan Drinks, we met this woman, Jamie, who does home veterinary care, who we had a great conversation with and we hope to have on the show. And she was talking about like things like snakes, you know, when you have kind of like a sanctuary situation for snakes or other carnivorous animals like this. And you have to feed them other animals. And what a weird position that is to be in. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have to decide then which animal dies to save this animal. But it's not like you're going to euthanize all these snakes just because...
They happen to be in captivity.
Right. So what do you do? Like, you have to make a decision.
If they can't be released.
And that's a really tough position to be in.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that at all.
But you do that anyway.
But I do. Yeah, I mean, I do that. And I guess it's true. Maybe that's like people, you know, who say, oh, I could never kill the animal. Like, I could not drop a live mouse into a cage. And, mm-hmm.
And I had a snake for a long time, and I actually used to do that. And so this was long before I was vegan, so spare me your hate mail. But I would usually do live rats, and I would just kind of... I'd have them by the tail and I'd kind of like thwap them against the side of the cage to stun them a little bit because I didn't want them to hurt my snake. And then I, you know, put them in the cage with the snake and they were a little bit stunned. And that's what I used to do. I was playing God over that rat and deciding that this rat is going to die.
Yeah.
It was, in hindsight, it's very weird. Back then it didn't matter. I had a snake and it needed to eat. She needed to eat. I apologize. You know, and that was that.
Yeah.
But, and the snake I had did not live in a cage. It was kind of funny how well I took care of her. How I didn't treat her like a snake. I treated her like a companion animal. You know, she would sleep on my stomach and we'd go play in the grass and I'd take her places with me. And which I think most people have a snake and the snake stays in the cage and that's kind of the end of it.
Yeah.
But it was... In hindsight, it's definitely a weird position to be in.
Yeah, it really sucks.
And now, even though I have wanted another snake, I don't know that I could do that now.
Well, and if it comes that there is a new brand of vegan cat food that is developed at some point that I can try with him, I will. But we just know that whatever's out there now doesn't work.
So do you do half and half then? Or what do you do?
He won't eat it. No. Mm. He lost a lot of weight. We tried really hard, but he just... wouldn't eat it. And so now he's on some different stuff, and you know, it feels like, and he even goes through and gets picky and will stop eating various kinds of meat food as well. And so we have to try different brands and different things and different cans and different kibble. And it's just a nightmare. But
speaking
but we
of
love
cat
them.
Food, one of the things I want to mention from the book that's really funny is the things that are in traditional cat food that you buy anywhere you would buy.
Yeah.
And if you honestly think about what cats would really be eating in the wild, do you have any idea how large a tuna is?
Yeah. In the ocean.
Right. And that a cat would swim out into the middle of the ocean and catch a fish that's, what, 1,000 pounds or however big tunas are.
Like, my little 9-pound boy.
Like, cat food ought to be, what, rats?
Yeah. The,
birds?
I think the fish is more likely to eat the cat in that situation, really.
So it's kind of weird that we've got, like, would a cat eat a cow?
No.
Probably not. No. So really,
that's not natural
what
either.
What we're feeding cats out of a bag is not even remotely natural. And probably not even chickens, because chickens are large. I mean, comparatively to cats, they're...
Well, like
chickens
comparable.
Are tiny. Yeah. So if cats were to be eating birds, they'd probably be smaller birds.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think that's funny.
Yeah, you don't go to the store and see...
And that was a very interesting thing I learned from that book. That
yeah.
I mean, it's just something I never thought of. Oh, yeah, cats don't eat cows.
Yeah.
In nature.
Yeah. I know. It's a very weird thing, but it's very bizarre. Our other boy, Milo, he is vegan, although he does eat. He eats Taz's leftovers when Taz doesn't finish his meal, so... Technically, you know, we only feed him vegan food, but he will scoop up what's left over. He's huge, too. He's just a big, big, huge guy. But he's okay. And we've, you know, the little bits of problems that we've run into with him, we've been able to resolve naturally. So, or, you know, with just like soaking his kibble in water or something to help get his hydration up. So in any event, just, you know, whatever you feed them is... If you the more vegan you can be, yay.
Yay.
And if you can't, then you can't. And that kind of brings me to, there's been a local scandal in the Twin Cities, I know. Seriously.
I love scandal.
I know. This is unfortunate. It's a really unfortunate one because it's about the man who owns Evolution Pet Food. And
this
you know,
is all you.
This is all me that
well,
to talk about this.
I don't know a whole lot about it.
Well, I mean, I just want to acknowledge it because it's been something locally in the Twin Cities that's come up, and I've gotten a lot of questions about it, about this guy who owns Evolution Pet Food. It's one of the most well-known vegan cat and dog food companies. It's the one that we've been feeding our guys for quite a long time because it's vegan-owned. They only do vegan food, and it's local. So, like, how...
Perfect.
It's perfect. And, you know, our dogs are super healthy on it. Our cats, you know, fine. But recently he was charged with multiple counts of animal cruelty and fraud and practicing medicine without a license and on humans and animals and a whole bunch of things. It's like 50-some counts of crime against him. And... You know, that it's unfortunate. In the Twin Cities, the City Pages is our free weekly newspaper that's, you know, thousands.
It's extremely popular.
It's extremely popular. And he was the main story a couple weeks ago about this. And so, you know, that's really, really unfortunate because it essentially, I'm concerned that it's already, vegan cats are already such a touchy issue. And then to have this come out because this man was irresponsible about some things, you know, I'm just worried that that's going to reflect poorly on the whole notion of having vegan companion animals, and that the vegan animal issue will get confused with his own personal, you know, failings.
It is hard anytime something bad comes out against veganism. Or who was the woman that was on... some magazine, I can't remember, that she was on the cover of some vegan magazine or veg magazine, and then, like, a month later, she, like, denounced veganism, and who...
I don't know.
She looks like Maggie Gyllenhaal, sort of. I can't think of who it is. Anyway, or, like, you know...
Oh, Natalie Portman?
No, although Natalie Portman decided during her pregnancy that she needed to have baked goods that weren't vegan, but, or whatever. But no, there was somebody else on the cover of...
Oh,
I think
I
it might
know.
Have been Veg News. And she then a couple months later, like, went on Letterman or somebody, again, always prepared with facts for our listeners. and just renounced veganism.
Yeah.
I think, and like the stuff that Oprah's done, you know, with her cleanse, her diet, and not being specific enough. You know, when Oprah did her vegan cleanse through, is it Kathy Freston's Quantum Wellness book? And saying, okay, so I'm doing this vegan cleanse and no alcohol, no gluten, no sugar, on top of eschewing animal products. Vegans don't not eat sugar or booze or gluten. And so, you know, it's really unfortunate to me that people so kind of casually and carelessly, they're just not cautious enough. Yeah. They don't understand how damaging what they say can be. And there was a lot of people up in arms about people being upset with Natalie Portman during her pregnancy. We have a friend who went vegan while she was pregnant. I mean, I'm sure that people crave all sorts of different things, but do you lose your morals when you're pregnant? I mean, I can't speak to that because I'm not pregnant. I haven't been through that experience of trying to be vegan while I'm pregnant, so I can't speak to that. But I can't imagine that suddenly my morals would go out the window because I'm pregnant now. And so I wish that people that are public would be so much more careful about what they're saying and doing and how that reflects. Because if they really were involved in the movement, they would know how important it is to be careful.
Yeah.
My little tangent there.
Yeah, well, I think it's important for everybody to be consistent. Because, again, there are some people who will say, oh, I eat a modified vegan diet, so I'm vegan, except I have eggs and fish and chicken.
Right.
What? That's not vegan then. But the thing is that the thing that frustrates me about that is that when I go to a restaurant, if that's their understanding of veganism,
exactly.
And I say, hey, what do you have that's vegan on your menu? And they say this and this. I think that there's an understanding there because they are confident, but who knows what they're doing,
right.
Really. And that impacts, you know, that impacts those of us who are consistent and are,
serious.
I don't know, serious. That's the word that came to my mind, too.
My aunt actually used to tell people that she was vegetarian, except she eats fish, and I asked her to stop telling people that. She wasn't, I don't necessarily think it was an ethical thing for her. I think it was just dietary. And so I told her to stop telling people that she was vegetarian and why, because that's confusing to people that don't, I mean, fish aren't vegetables, and so please don't tell people you're vegetarian. She wasn't upset or offended by it, and she understood why I said, don't tell people that if you're eating fish, because that's confusing.
Yeah.
And that, it undermines kind of what that is, and it confuses people that are already confused about it.
Well, and that's, I mean, I guess that's part of Jed Gillen's argument in Obligate Carnivore is that if you're vegan for ethical reasons, you know, that has everything to do with what it is that you're putting your money toward, what it is that you're supporting with your money, with your dollars, and your purchasing power. So, you know, at least give it a shot and see if it can be done. And if it can't be done, so be it, you know, but then at least, you know, so, vegan campaign. Yeah, that's all I have to say on that one. Do you have anything else you want?
Well, and I think you maybe should talk about how happy and healthy your animals are.
Oh my gosh. So Max, he's 11.
They're not, you know, like all other vegan humans, they're not like laying around waif, can hardly move or stand because they're vegan and they don't get any nutrients or protein.
So the dogs are super healthy. Max is 11 and he runs around like a maniac. Oftentimes at the dog park and stuff, people are just always surprised. You wouldn't be able to tell except for his face, that his face is getting pretty white. But the way that he runs around is just boggling to me. He's extremely trim, which is unusual for a beagle. They tend to be pudgy because they love to eat and people often feed them a lot because they'll beg and they'll eat as much as you give them pretty much and won't stop. So there are a lot of fat
like
beagles
me.
Out there. There are a lot of fat beagles. Max is not, and he's really, really healthy. I mean, he's 11 and I guess he'd be, you know, he's considered a senior, but he doesn't act like it at all. Warren is 9, and he is...
Warren is so cute.
I gave him a little haircut today, and I just about... Oh, my gosh. I just melted.
Did
I
you kept, die from like, cuteness?
Cooing and, yeah, just making... Saying, Brandon, look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. He's so cute.
Oh, so we'll have to post so pictures cute. Of him. What kind of dog is Warren?
Warren, he is an Affenpinscher. It's a German...
He looks German.
He's, yeah, Affens are, they're the ancestors to the Brussels Griffons. They're, to dog people it would mean something, but it's a really, really old breed. He's rescued, of course, yeah. But he's freaking adorable.
He's so cute, and I just imagine him kind of like strutting around and... Oh,
yeah.
So cute.
And the thing, he's super serious. His personality is very serious, which is hilarious.
Well, it's appropriate because he's German, so he seems like...
very serious. Yeah, apparently they were dogs that were kept in castles. So they were kept in castles to run around the stone hallways and chase rats, I guess. Even though he's a lot more interested in birds and anything.
He's very little.
Butterflies. He only likes, you know, animals in the air to chase. Geese. He loves geese that are like twice his size.
Yeah,
too,
geese would probably
to chase them. He
take them out.
But yeah, he's awesome. We'll post some pictures.
Oh, so cute.
But anyway, they're very healthy. They're very happy. Milo, he's a tank. He's our vegan cat. A cat is gigantic, and I mean, he's not wasting away by any means. Cat is just huge. And we often find him, you know, like I think Megan Duke, who was on one of our earlier episodes.
Iron Chef.
Yeah, she came and she cooked Thanksgiving dinner with my husband at our house, and Milo got into the pot of mashed potatoes. He loves to eat as well.
Cute.
Just like all vegans, he loves to eat. And also, I tell people also about the vegan dogs is that vegan food is lower in calories, so they get to eat more, which is actually really fun for them. So, you know, it's fun for me because I get to give them more treats. Actually, I'm going to give a plug out to Boston Baked Bones.
Yes.
Which is a vegan dog biscuit company. And I think they're exclusively vegan. And we did a subscription thing with them. And so Boston Baked Bones sends once a month, they send a box of like vegan muffins or cookies for the dogs. And
cute.
I know they love it. One day... the package came, and the postal delivery person put it between our storm door and our, you know, main door, and Max was just going nuts. I didn't know that it was out there, but he was just going nuts, like sniffing and scratching and whining at the door, and just really. I mean, he of course every time the mail person comes by, it's a big deal, but this he just wasn't stopping, and he could smell the peanut butter cookies through the
cute.
Door. I was glad I was there because he. I don't know what he would have done.
You wouldn't have a door anymore.
Yeah, he would have hurt himself, like scratched himself down to bloody nubs or something trying to get at them. But they love them, absolutely love them. So I like Boston Baked Bones. Give them your business and make your dogs really happy.
And we will link that.
Yep. So if you're curious, there is a website called Vegan Cats out there. You can check that out if you want to learn more about vegan cat stuff online. Evolution. Oh, we talked a little bit about the thing that I talked to Jed Gillen, who wrote Obligate Carnivore. I said, look, have you heard about this controversy? And with the guy, the evolution guy, and he said, yeah, but he did let me know that the formula for evolution was actually created by a company that was not this man. So apparently, regardless of however it's marketed or whatever's implied, the formula is from some other place, and I do intend to continue buying it if it is available, because I mean the years have proved that my boys are fine eating it, but I was a little bit concerned. So if anybody else out there has been concerned or wants to know, I don't know what's going to happen with that company or what's happening with his prosecution or anything, but apparently that is a formula that was made by people where there is no controversy around their behavior. So, or credentials or anything.
Well,
so
there could be
good.
Controversy around my behavior and credentials all the time. So.
Yeah, I suppose. There's also Natural Balance is a brand of dog food, and they make a vegetarian formula. That's a company that makes mostly meat-based foods. So
just like Silk.
Yep. Just like Silk.
Silk soy milk is made by.
Yeah. I personally like to support vegan-owned or vegan-only companies whenever I can. I think that's great. Yeah. But, you know, it's also great to show that you are supportive of vegan options.
Although what like I think is really interesting about Silk's marketing campaigns, I don't know if anybody's seen them, and I always get excited when I see soy milk marketed, but Silk is owned by a dairy producer, and I understand the reasoning for, you know, having varied products, because if you know anything about dairy, you know that it's not natural and people have a lot of problems with that. And so, of course, if that's your main product, you'd want to branch into something that doesn't cause people problems.
Yeah.
Although people have soy allergies. But anyway, their products are very, or their marketing is very kind of anti-dairy. And I think that's very strange. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't mind. And Silk is very cheap. I mean, it's not
accessible.
Expensive. It's everywhere. You can get it at mm-hmm. Target and Cub Foods. And I mean, you can probably get it at gas stations. You can get it everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like going to a restaurant and ordering a vegan dish when there's mostly, you know,
the world
of things
sucks.
So, I mean, anytime you're buying vegan is good. I like to support vegan owned companies when I can. There's also a vegan owned dog food company called V-Dog. And you can order that online if you are in the Midwest. I think I don't know where they ship out of, maybe like Kansas or something.
Well, if you're ordering it online, you can probably order it anywhere, right?
Yeah, you can have it. That's what I mean. You can have it shipped anywhere, even if it's not available and it's free shipping. And my guys, honestly, they weren't big fans of that one. But maybe other dogs would like it mm-hmm. quite a bit. But yeah, so V-Dog is another option, something we've tried. So
I like our honesty. We're always honest about stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
I do, too.
So, should we move on, or are we...
Sure. We could talk about a green challenge.
Okay. I want to interrupt the green challenge to bring you a special article that a coworker gave me.
Oh, okay.
This is really cool. I was so surprised by this. I can't imagine any of my coworkers, by and large, know that I'm vegan, and some of them know that I do all sorts of things, including this radio show. And one of my coworkers, Ray, who I doubt listens to the show, but I don't know, he came up to me the other day with an article out of Packaging World magazine, because that's the industry that I'm in, is packaging. And he said, I have this cool article I don't know if you've seen for your radio show. And I was like, I was very touched, because that was very sweet, but the article's really, really cool. And so it's short, so... I suppose it's kind of hard to paraphrase, so I'm just going to read it and suck it up, deal with how long this is. It's not that long. Okay. So, it's based around kind of these diamond awards that DuPont puts out, and I don't want to hear about how bad DuPont is. I don't care. But there are these diamond awards, and one of them was won by Ecovative LLC for its Eco Cradle protective packaging product. It's grown from mushroom roots and regionally sourced agricultural byproducts such as cotton burrs or oat hulls. So it's positioned as a cost-effective, home-compostable, and more sustainable replacement for expanded polystyrene and other petroleum-based protective packaging materials. It's been in commercial use for over a year, and users now include office furniture maker Steelcase, which I don't know who they are, and computer giant Dell. So this company was founded in 2007, and they're currently operating in a pilot production facility in upstate New York, and they plan to expand soon to regional facilities. And it looks like a whole bunch of different companies are starting to use this. But basically, it's kind of magic. It's inedible crop waste that they're using to make packaging out of instead of, like, styrofoam. So... there's some really technical stuff here using big words like biopolymers and cellulose and things like that people don't care of, but, it's completely organic and it's natural and, they kind of shape it into the mold of whatever it needs to be molded into. And obviously they can be recycled or composted, and the molds themselves take about a week to grow. But so like we're growing packaging. which is so awesome. So, and apparently it's extremely cost effective, and it's a way to replace petroleum-based protective packaging grown from agricultural byproducts using minimal energy, and it breaks down quickly into home compost. So it's got 3M's attention, and 3M is Minnesota-based. So that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Are you so excited about that? I wouldn't tell Dallas
way
this until
cool. That's
I read
a surprise
it,
to me. It's an awesome surprise. I especially like that it's home compostable.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Brandon would love that too. He's so funny. He's always like tossing coffee cups in our compost bin.
So
I'm like,
if,
you know, yeah, that's compostable, but not really in our backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want a backyard full of coffee cups.
If I can find a link to this, I mean, it's kind of an obscure magazine, Packaging World magazine. If I can find a link to it, I will post this article on the blog.
It looks a little bit like tempeh.
It kind of does. Yeah, there's a picture and it's kind of weird, but yeah,
that's cool.
Isn't that so neat?
It looks a little like tempeh. It looks a little bit like that paper that has seeds in it.
Yeah. Was that really painful to listen to? Did I get through that?
No, that was interesting and relevant and great. Thank you.
Okay, so green challenge.
Okay.
That's green though, right?
That is totally green. That's green news, although we can't really do much. I suppose we could be asking places.
Write to 3M and tell them to get going on
what kind of packaging they do. Or, you know, put it in the special notes or something when you're ordering something online and ask them not to use styrofoam or something. But
yeah. So thanks, Ray, for showing
cool.
me that article.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. So, okay, green challenge. It's time for the green challenge.
Green challenge.
Green challenge.
There's no gloves. There's no swords.
No white suits.
Uh-uh. It's just green challenge.
You're just doing the earth a solid. I did this yesterday, so I don't know how effective it will be. I'm guessing that it will be, but I haven't checked it out for sure.
Please do our ineffective green challenge.
Well, we don't know. It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery until next year.
I suppose. Well, no. Okay. So how many of us get phone books delivered?
Me.
To our homes?
I'm raising my hand. Me.
Yes. I do too. Multiple times a year from multiple companies. And if you have the internet, likely you don't need a phone book.
I really can't think of the last time I've used a phone book ever.
I think the last time I used a phone book was to set it on something that I needed something heavy.
Oh, those are helpful for that.
Or maybe to step on it or sit, you know, raise something up.
Can't quite reach the top cupboard.
Yeah, no. They're basically like I get irritated. They're on the front steps. I pick it up. I walk it through the house out into the recycling bin. And that's it.
You know what I actually used to do when they would come to my work? Not my current work, but previous works. I would actually take the time to rip them into small enough sections and put them in the shredded box. Yeah.
So that's a good use of your life.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. I could just stop it from being shipped in the first place.
Yes.
Which would have been better.
This is the idea, is to have us opt out of getting phone books delivered to our homes. And so I was thinking to myself, I wish I could opt out of this. Like when you get on an email list and you don't want to get on it anymore, something you can unsubscribe. And as I said that, I looked down and there was actually a note on the plastic bag that the phone books were in that said to opt out of delivery, go to this website. So I did. And it is yellowbook.com for my area. It may be different in your area. I'm not really sure how phone books work exactly. I have a feeling that they're big, you know, giant corporations that do this. But next time you get the phone book delivered, see if there is a note on it somewhere about opting out, or, you know, take the title of the organization that publishes that phone book and, you know, opt out whatever that company is, phone book, and see if you can figure it out. But I did. They made me register on a site with my name and address and phone number before I could get a password to get in, because I don't know exactly why they did that. I'm kind of suspicious about that, but whatever. I wanted to see how this worked out. And I actually was able to opt out of 4 different kinds of phone books on that website. So it took all of, I don't know, 2.5-3 minutes. And that was only because I was confused and didn't know what was going on for a little bit. So it might even be faster for you if you're smarter than me.
It looks like the website is yellowpagesoptout.com.
Oh, really?
Well, that's that's what's coming up here, and it says National Yellow Pages Consumer Choice and Opt-Out Site.
Oh, okay.
And they've got a sustainability report, and
we'll have a link or two on the website.
Or 17.
Whatever. but I'm hoping that that will actually work and that I won't have any more phone books, or at least not those four kinds of phone books, end up on my front stoop anymore.
Yeah.
Because that is just makes me so sad to see this gigantic amount of paper come through. And not to mention, you know, the gas that it takes to deliver it and the factories and putting it out. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is such a waste of resources.
The trees.
Yeah. Well,
everything.
Yeah. Stop getting phone books if you don't use them. And if you do use phone books,
then good.
What else are you using that's ancient? I want to know.
Get with the times, people. Yeah. Get with it. Get a smartphone and just move on.
Listening, maybe people who use phone books are not listening to podcasts.
Maybe
that's an issue.
So we're not helping anybody.
No, we're helping our listeners.
We're helping them not get them anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the green challenge.
And I think we've made an executive decision. And I also want to say, for those of you who are like, where the hell is your intern? She is still with us. She is working a new job. And so it's because we've had pre-scheduled kind of times that we get together to record. It's been difficult for her. I mean, I know she was on vacation before, but she is still with us. She's just not physically present, still doing lots of great stuff for us. So, but she hasn't been chiming in because she hasn't been available recently, but that's okay. We still love her. And I think we're going to maybe cut out the section unless big events are coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about big events if they're coming up, but the upcoming
events,
like
Mad City Vegan Fest, we're just...
Yeah, like where we'll be or something like that. But it's just, we want to have more time to yammer about other things. And
it's hard if we have people in New York, that's not even Midwest.
Yeah.
If people are listening in New York, they don't give a crap what we're doing. I mean, they don't care about our Petland demo, probably. But if you're really PO'd that we're not doing this anymore, if you found this extremely helpful, because people have written to us and said that they have learned about things. I mean, specifically with Mad City Vegan Fest, which we plugged forever and ever, there was a lot of people that we talked to that came to that and found out about that through us. So if big stuff like that comes up, that seems really worthwhile.
Yeah,
we'll definitely bring it up.
If you have something going on in your town,
and we're still happy to plug things.
Yeah, you're working on an event and you want, you know, to let us know about it so that we might talk about it, let us know if it's important to you that it get out there. But it's just not the best use of our resources in terms of airtime or our lifetime to do that. So,
yeah, it's a little boring and it's time consuming to find stuff, and lots of pages aren't up to date.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Well, so yeah, it's a simplified format, and hopefully you will like that. So that's all in terms of updates, I think.
I think that's all we have for today. But again, please, if you're new to listening to the show, if this is the first one you've heard, please like us on Facebook and mm-hmm. listen to episode 10 to find out why that's important. But we like to know who our listeners are. We like when people write to us.
And we do put things on Facebook that we don't talk about on the show.
We do talk about lots of stuff on Facebook.
Actually, it's
pretty
awesome.
And it's more interactive.
Yeah. And you can talk to us and
all
that.
You can get in your two cents.
Yeah.
If we post something on there and you're like, that's crap. That's my impression of you. Not you, Dallas. All of our listeners. That's my impression of you. That's crap. And I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
Thinking that what we're posting about
to talk
is crap.
To that. Okay, well, yeah.
Be nice to us. Don't say, that's crap. Be nice to us.
Okay.
Thoughtful, intelligent dialogue. That's what we like. Not that we do that
Not
on
that
the
we
show.
Give that to you, but still. Okay.
All right.
I think that's it for 11.
That's it for 11.
All right. Say goodbye, Elliot.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.